Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Oh, God bless you people for tuning in and listening to us tonight. We're really having fun. We're trying to do God's work, the work for Jesus Christ, but we try to have fun too, you know. But we just brought back, Mr. Bitter Ender, the Bitter Ender himself. He's going to come in and help us out a little bit. And before we go back, we were talking about, I never give up. We have a lot of cuck conservatives here in the United States, especially Memphis is loaded with them. But you know what? I haven't given up on the German people. I'm just going to make a quick comment, and I'm going to go back to our people. I said this during the break to our guest here. When people were talking to Hitler in the 30s, when Germany had made that miraculous turnaround, and they said, you know, Herr Hitler, we looked around, and the German people were an absolute wreck. Berlin was the smut capital of the world. It was covered with homosexuals and prostitutes and drug addicts. They had sunk to the lowest of the low. Germany was an absolute cesspool. How in the hell did you ever think, you're looking at those people, did you think you could do anything with them? And here's what he said. He said, I looked out at my German brothers and sisters. I didn't see what they were. I saw what they could be under the right leadership. Anyway, with that, Gene, would you like to introduce yourself, young fellow? And we'll go, but you can ask some questions, make comments, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I may have misunderstood you. Were you talking about Hitler speaking of the German people in the 1930s, or were you speaking about someone talking about the American people in the 21st century?
You know what? They could apply to both of them.
Garbage and trash and what they could be and have fallen into. Or fallen down to the level they've fallen down to.
I think that's an astute observation, and I think you know, I'm like Monica. You know, Monica said on our website. I said I don't preach to the masses. I don't care about the alt right. Only the hardest of the hardcore. But Miss Monica, our dear sister, said she used to be a libtard. So there is hope. So anyway, back to you, Gene and Monica and Fred.
No, my dad was in Germany in 1932. The bottom of the depression here in this country, he was an artist, and he made his money painting going out of business signs for businesses that had closed. And he got a trip on an American Express excursion to Europe. And my grandfather was an engineer on the L&N Railroad, so my dad got a railroad pass, which children of railroad employees could get, from Paris, Tennessee, all the way to New York City. And he was on the Leviathan and made the crossing over to Europe and I think went to England, France, Germany, maybe one or two other countries. And I remember him telling me he thought the German people were the most courteous, most polite, just the salt of the earth type of people. And he really admired the German people for their courtesy and the way they treated him as an American tourist. And he spoke very, very highly of the German people and great compliments for them. And I don't know if this is going way off track, but he was a newspaper man. And he wanted to go down to Mainz and see Gutenberg's printing press, the first movable type and that sort of thing. So he went down there on part of his tour, got there too late in the afternoon, and the little museum was closed, but he could look through the window and see Gutenberg's press, which is basically what he wanted to do. He was walking back to the hotel, and a German policeman stopped him and said something to him in German, and the little German that he knew said he didn't speak English. And so the policeman spoke to him in perfect English, and Dad said, being a Southerner, his English was a lot better than mine was. And so the policeman told him that the National Socialist Party and this fellow Hitler were having a rally tonight. And it always broke up in a fight with the communists, and they were just asking the visitors to remain off the streets. And he said, we're sorry to ask you to do this, but we don't want any of our visitors to get hurt. And my dad said, oh, I'm going back to the hotel right now, and I understand that. So he was walking up a couple of more blocks, and a group came up and down the street chanting these slogans in German, which my dad didn't understand, but they were, you know, obviously part of the National Socialist Party, and that's what they were chanting about and going, I guess, to the meeting. And so the next morning on the train, I think they were going to Munich, but in one of the compartments that they have on the European trains, there was a German gentleman that was sitting across from him in the compartment and spoke very good English, as most Europeans do. And we speak, like he said, from the South, they don't even think we speak English at all. And so he asked this gentleman about this fella Hitler that he had heard about. And he was an elder gentleman, and he said, oh, he is nothing. He is nothing. He is for schoolboys. He won't amount to anything. And my dad often wondered, you know, wonder what happened to that fella and what about his prophecy. But he was so impressed with the German people and the individuals and the way they treated him and the way he was treated when he traveled around Germany on this excursion, this trip that he went on. So anyway, that may be a little off the subject, but it was a I always kidded Dad about meeting the leaders of Europe, and what did some of the other leaders have to say to him? He laughed, and he said, I was a tourist. They didn't know me from a hole in the ground. So anyway, that was our story about our family's travel through Germany then.
Wow,
that's
wonderful,
a fascinating story. Monica, yeah, respond if you don't
mind.
Not to tell y'all what to do, but you're
a
native.
No, that's so interesting. 1932, so really that's not that long before Hitler actually did come to power, and then
right.
You know, the sweeping changes.
Yeah. That was 1933, if that's correct.
Yes,
so.
Yes, January 30th, 1933, he was sworn in as the Chancellor of Germany. And so it's not genetic, this problem of the brainwashing. It is literally just a programming of the brain. Like, it's by way of deception, thou shalt make war, and that includes the utter indoctrination and programming of our brains, our people. And so that is what has brought Germany down on her knees, and the Holocaust is a big part of that, the false Holocaust story. That's how we always tie back into that, that it's the biggest lie. It might not be the very biggest lie that there has been ever told, but it's the one in our current times that is actually the linchpin lie, and that's why we always come back to that. And on that note, there was an episode in the Canadian Parliament, in the House of Commons, just a few days ago, last week sometime, where, you know, here we are, they're debating about, what were they debating about? Something about the Ottawa, the truckers, the protest.
Oh, the truckers, yeah.
The truck knows all about that.
Yeah,
Jim knows about that.
Yeah, of course. And they managed to tie it to the Holocaust. So when they do this, and we started the show in the first hour with this thing, how they, the mainstream media, they keep tying these things together. Well, thank you very much. We'll tie it together too. You know, in the first hour, we're talking about how they compare the Ukrainian situation now with Hitler invading Poland. And while they lied to us about what happened there, and they're lying right now about Ukraine. But Jim, why don't you tell us about this scene? I mean, it's a bunch of clowns in the Canadian Parliament.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I actually put this up on my BitChute site, and for those that want to go there, because I put a lot of interesting videos up, and I get a lot of help from the people that post on my site, and they send me to links, and then I end up making videos of some of the things that they show me. And this was one of them. And this was a discussion at Parliament, and Trudeau, he gets up, and he starts talking about the truckers, and he's saying that he's talking to the other Parliament people there too. So I guess you have liberal Parliament people. You know, I don't know if there's any right Parliament people, but they seem like they're all liberal to me in Canada. But anyway,
all pretty communist. There's the Conservative Party. That's the one that would be the, like, your Republican Party. But they're all controlled
conservative. But anyway, he gets up here, which was kind of oddball what he did, because he was talking about the truckers, and someone had comparing them to Nazis, or having a Nazi sign, or someone had a Nazi sign. And Now he's talking to the conservative military parliament people, the other parliament people, okay, and they got insulted that he brought up that, you know, liking them, to, you know, if they're going along with the truckers and defending the truckers, you know, then you're part of like a Nazi movement yourself. Oh, and they got so upset that he kind of compared them to being Nazis. And so anyway, they start getting up there, giving their spiels, you know, about how they're really mad that Trudeau had a nerve to even say this. And the you know, long story short, all of them that got up there were Jews. And they started talking about the Holocaust. And it's like, this trucker thing has nothing to do with the Holocaust. But
and they were all, they're all children of Holocaust survivors too, right?
Yes, no, I'm saying to myself, what is going on here? I mean, we're talking about truckers, and then when I was talking about Nazis, and now we're talking about survivors of the Holocaust and the kids of the Holocaust survivors, and it's like, again, what did it all come down to? It came down to the Holocaust. So I just laughed. That's why I put the video up on my BitChute site. I said, people got to see these clowns. I mean, these people don't even know how stupid they are. But anyway, that was that video.
It's like it Rick funny. Says, it's Holocaustianity.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And they compete with each other who can be the most, you know, oh, I'm the child of Holocaust survivors. Like they almost like it's competing with each other.
Yeah, that's like getting the Congressional Medal of Honor. People, we got to go back to this first break in the second hour. We will be right back.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Hello, dear people. Thank you. We have an all-star cast tonight. I'm going to make a quick I'm directing this comment to this guy named Rick Wiles. I used to watch his show all the time. He has a YouTube. They have a great intelligence service. They have Reuters and all that stuff. But I can't watch it anymore because he's always talking about the Nazis, the German people, how evil the Nazis were, how evil the Nazis were. I got news for you, Rick. I wish you'd come on this show and debate us because you know what? Your information is totally right. You hate the Nazis. You hate German people almost as bad as you hate Southerners. That's why I can't patronize your show anymore. And I'm going to make this quick, and I'm sure the people on this, our guests, can back me up. Before Hitler took power in the 30s, The communists were a great threat in Germany. They had become a foothold. I don't know if they were how close they were to taking over, but the communists, driven by these Bolshevik Jews, were taking over. You know what would happen if they had captured Germany? There'd have been millions and millions of people, Germans killed. Thanks to Hitler and his people and the Nazis, they drove those damn communists out of there. And for about 7 years, Hitler was the only person in the world who defeated the New World Order. He's the only person in the history of the world, as Tom Goodrich talked about last week, that got rid, he outlawed the Freemasons there. Anyway, I'm going to shut up and go right back. I think Jim, it was you. Continue on talking, Jim.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. The people don't understand that. Well, actually, after World War One, okay, the communists made the first attempt to take over Germany. All right, so they outnumbered the German nationalists. Okay, I mean, it was really bad. That's why it's a miracle that Hitler ever came to power, but he did. But anyway, I forgot the exact year, but it was right after World War One. And after World War One, the German soldiers, they were called the Freikorps. Okay, they're the guys that now fought World War One. And when the communists came in, they're the ones that came and fought them out. They kicked them out. Okay, these older guys, the older German soldiers kicked the communists out of Germany. And of course, where did they go? They went to Russia, and they took over Russia. Okay, so they tried to take over Germany in the beginning, but they failed because the Germans came together to kick them out of the country, and they end up going to Russia. And of course, in Russia, because they got funded by a shift in the bankers over here, Wall Street, I guess he gave them, I think, $10 or $20 million. The Bolsheviks, the communists, they were able to overthrow the Tsar. Okay, so people that understand that, again, they were making their move, okay, in the first country they made the move on was Germany. And then they were able to, you know, get Russia. And once they got Russia, then they really got control. And, you know, they came back later with World War II, you know, to try to do it again, the infiltrate in there again. Of course, the only reason why Germany lost was because the United States came into the war and bailed them out with the Lend-Lease and gave the Soviets all the money so they can defend against Germany. But the point is, they would have lost again if the United States didn't come into that war. Their asses were already kicked, okay? But the stupid United States came into the war, and then that's what happened. But I want to make one more point, okay? This has to do with Patton. This is a very important point, okay? Because, you know, we all know who Patton was. He was a general. He's probably the most famous general. Okay, he was loved by everybody. So anyway, he wanted to go to Berlin, and he wanted to repatriate Berlin. So he's starting to now meet the German people, and he's like saying, these people are great people. I don't know why are we doing here? Why are we fighting them? And then he started meeting the Jews, and he said, these Jews are filthy, rotten, dirty, scumbag people. And I can't say he used those exact words, but he did. He didn't like the Jews at all. And so at the end of the war now, you know, Patton was making these statements about the Germans being actually good people. And he actually wanted to use the Germans to fight against the communists. And they were actually, I was reading something just last week, there were the British and the Germans, they were on parallel railroad lines or something, and they were actually coming to get together to do that, but for some reason they stopped it. But the Germans were ready to get on the side, okay, with the Americans to fight the communists. But then what happened to Patton? Well, because they knew this was kind of happening, they killed Patton, you know, because they knew they couldn't allow this man to continue on trying to make an alliance with Germany, because that would have been disastrous now if you had the Germans. All right, the Germans who survived, the soldiers who survived, team up with the Americans and now fight against the communists. But that should have been what happened. That if that happened, it would have been great, but it didn't happen. So I just wanted to throw that in there to show you
that's
about
great.
Patton and how he...
No,
that's great. Gene, go ahead. I would like to hear your comments on follow-up.
No, what Jim was talking about, there were a whole series of revolutions across Europe, or attempted revolutions across Europe. And he's right. It was right after World War One. It was 1919. There were attempted takeovers by the Jewish-led Bolsheviks in Hungary and Austria. He mentioned Germany. But it also took place in France and several countries after the war. They had been so decimated by the war and what it had done to the countries and wrecked the economies of these countries, and were still waiting for the United States to bail them out financially, that the communists, the Bolsheviks, attempted revolutions in several countries in Europe. And he mentioned, the Germans, veterans of World War One, were the ones that came together and kicked them out of Germany. The second point I wanted to make was, he was talking about Patton, and Patton realized what had happened to him and stopping the Third Army before they could. Eisenhower stopped the Third Army. They were on a roll. They were going to just zip right into Berlin and take over East Germany, what became the country of East Germany. They're ready to take it over, and Eisenhower stopped them. Well, Roosevelt ordered Eisenhower to stop Patton and pull back and let the Russians come in and take over all of Eastern Europe. And then that's what happened there, was he was called off. So Patton's quote was, and it got him in trouble, "We butchered the wrong hog. We should have been fighting on the side of the Germans against the Bolsheviks." And he really believed that at the end of the war, and that's why he had that mysterious car crash that was no more than a fender bender. And then, you know, he suddenly died from his injuries in that car crash, which is very questionable. And you know, the more we've studied that, the more we know that was a plot by the United States government to have him exterminated and get him out of the way, because they couldn't argue him down. And that's what the United States government does. They can't base their argument on fact. They have to base their arguments against people, their own military people, their own civilians, on lies and propaganda and misinformation. And if Patton were turned loose and were able to do what you were talking about, organize what was left of the German army, which is still in good condition, and turn on the Bolsheviks and the communists, then that would make Roosevelt and what he had done look like he was a traitor, that he had backed the communists that were trying to take over Eastern Europe. So Patton was basically right. The World War II was not the war to save democracy, or whatever the slogan was for that one. I think World War I was the war to end all wars, and this was the war to save democracy or whatever. All it did, it saved communism, and it gave up all of Eastern Europe and eastern half of Germany to the communists. And the brutality there, they talk about on the news how terrible Hitler was, yada, yada, yada. We hear that over and over again. Everybody that disagrees with the government is another Hitler. All right, so what? We've heard that before. But the truth is, if you want to have a body count, the body count of Stalin and the Soviets and what they did to the people in Eastern Europe, and especially in the Ukraine in the 20s and 30s, they starved the entire population of that country. And the numbers that died in the Ukraine under the communist control just totally wipe away the 6 million number that the Jews keep coming up with.
That's right. So, again, I mean, we have to go to the root of who's behind these wars. Why is it? Nothing makes sense. But once we understand who is behind all these wars, then it all makes sense. And it's that same rootless internationalist people, the self-chosenites. They are the ones that are, you know, doing it. Like they're instigating the wars with their false flags, with their lies, with their deceptions. And yeah, what a different outcome that would have been if Patton wouldn't have been murdered, if he could have, you know, if he realized a little, you know, what was going on, and if it could have turned things around. But boy, oh boy, that's it. He was taken out. But thanks for that. Well, and
dear folks, we got to go to a break. Dear Blood River Radio audience, we got our guests are on the roll tonight. We've got a bunch of great ones. We'll be right back and continue after this quick commercial message.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The battle continues in Ukraine as Russian troops close in on the capital of Kyiv. Terrified people went to bomb shelters and underground amid a 36-hour curfew that the government imposed to keep people off the streets. The United Nations said more than 150,000 Ukrainians have now fled for Poland, Moldova, and other neighboring countries. Ukraine President Zelensky said, "We will fight for as long as needed to liberate our country." To help Ukraine, the U.S. has now pledged an additional $350 million in military assistance that includes anti-tank weapons, body armor, and small arms. Germany also said it will send missiles and anti-tank weapons to the besieged country, and it would close its airspace to Russian planes. This is USA Radio News.
Water. It's essential to life, but it's also something that so many of us here in America take for granted. Imagine how different your life would be without access to clean water in your home. What if you had to walk to the nearest creek, stream, lake, or pond to get water? Suddenly, going to work and school wouldn't be an option because you and your children would have to spend your days collecting water. This is the day-to-day reality of most families living in the world's poorest countries. But what if I told you that you can change that reality for just pennies a day? Through our water projects, Food for the Poor is working to meet the need for water in 17 impoverished countries. But it won't happen without you. Incredibly, it only takes $15 to provide a child access to clean water for life. $15. Decades and decades of access to water for a child. Give the life-changing gift of water now. Just text USA Radio to 91999. Text USA Radio, all one word, to 91999.
Ford has recalled about 250,000 pickup trucks over loose underbody insulators that were responsible for at least 40 broken drive shafts over 4 years and 330,000 Mustangs over faulty backup cameras. The recall affects F-20s made between October 2015 and December 2021 and F-350s made between 2017 and 2022. Dealers were informed of the recall last week. Owners will be notified by April 8th. The recall was announced by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and includes two associated problems. Cameras installed between May 2014 and February 2015 with improper soldering, and a wiring harness used from February 2014 to October 2017 could be damaged by opening and closing the trunk. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Dear people, thank you so much. We're halfway through the second hour, which we're three-fourths way through the show. We're going right back to our dear beloved guest. And I know Rich texted in a minute ago, and he's always, the guy knows a little everything. He's like a walking encyclopedia. He said that this Trudeau, went to McGill University undergrad there, and he said it's a stronghold. He said that MK Ultra does a lot of research there. I know a little bit about MK Ultra. We used to have a guy named, when I was with TPC, I used to get this guy named Senator John DeCamp. He used to come on, Senator from Nebraska. He wrote the Franklin cover-up. He talked all about MK Ultra, talks about when Johnny Gosch disappeared. I mean, this stuff, if you ever get a chance to get a book, talks about all this MK Ultra stuff. You need to get the Franklin cover-up. It will curl the hair off your head. So then we're going to go right back to Miss Monica, and we're switching gears just a little bit. Go ahead, Miss Monica.
Yeah, well, we could call it switching gears, but like we said before, everything is connected here.
Yes.
same perpetrators, the eternal enemy of humanity. But, you know, the whole lockdown situation, they called this a state of emergency in Canada. Well, they lifted it actually, but nobody is talking about it in the mainstream media because they carry on with their war against us. And meanwhile, this, the Ukraine has taken over in terms of what's being talked about on the mainstream media, but this does not mean that the whole situation with the COVID terror regime has let up at all. Why they rescinded the state of emergency when really that was their, first of all, they put it in with the excuse that there was a blockade that was illegal and all this stuff. Well, those border blockades had been already removed when they brought in the state of emergency. They keep on talking about the illegal protests in Ottawa. Nothing about that was illegal. Since when is it illegal to have a peaceful protest? So they just keep repeating those words, but they have no meaning. And yeah, then they rescinded it. And I guess rumor has it that some senators were going to, they weren't going to let it go through. Like it has to go through the Senate after it goes through the House. And they weren't going to let it through. Maybe they were going to, you know, spill the beans on some dirt on Trudeau. I don't know. That's some rumors. But meanwhile, while all our attention is focused over on the Ukraine, there is this international treaty on pandemic prevention and preparedness and response apparently in the works. I think it's slated to be signed. This is international, slated to be signed March 1st or something. Now, this is really serious, folks, because this pandemic prevention, preparedness and response, this is at the same time that they're bringing in this vaccine passport thing all over the place. I think I understand that they're bringing this into many states in the United States. It's not just in Canada. And of course, in Europe, all over the place. I think it's predominantly white countries, by the way. I doubt if they have these vaccine passports in Africa anywhere. Maybe somebody can correct me about that. But anyway, so yeah, this thing is still going full bore, but it's almost like people are forgetting about it. But it's the war on the people here is still going full on. And so this international treaty they want to sign, you remember when Bill Gates talked about, oh, the next one they'll really notice, like something about the next pandemic, it'll catch their attention. But anyway, I'll pass it over to one of you who wants to just pipe up. If you want to comment on the things I've just said, jump in, please. I'm not, whoever wants to.
Fred, we hadn't heard from you in a while. What do you have to say about that, Fred?
I'm not fully familiar with everything that goes on in Canada and the politics, but I certainly think that they've gone beyond what they tell people Canada is like. Canada had a lot of people come into it because they thought Canada was a free country, and it's beginning to look like it isn't. It's maybe not as free as the United States, but I think... somebody who lives in Canada is better to comment on that, because I don't like to criticize I don't like to criticize somebody else's government, but yeah. They're really doing something wrong.
I'll jump in there for you, because here I am in Canada. We are so communist. I mean, like Eddie said earlier in the show, that you know, I have confessed that I was a libtard before I woke up about what was really going on, and that my awakening started around 2011. So getting into about 11 years ago that I started to figure things out and figure out that everything is inverted and upside down. But before that, I was fully indoctrinated into the version of history and events and the state of the world that they give us on the mainstream. But now I see Canada as one of the worst countries in terms of, how far along this road we are to full-blown communism. And that also applies to the level of indoctrination. I would say we're second to Germany. I mean, in Germany, that the poor Germans were really the target of their re-education program after World War II. Because they're in the crosshairs, like the Germans were supposed to die. I mean, the Jews told us that. They many of them outright said it, you know, Germany must perish. And they were talking about every last German.
Yes.
You just wipe them off the face of this earth. You know, it's not just their leaders or anything like that. No. And then by extension, the whole white race. And Canada, it's like it's also been in a sort of a laboratory, I guess, for their communist methods of, you know, subversion, I guess you could say. We look towards you in the United States to help get the world out of this mess with your First Amendment and Second Amendments of the Constitution. But I know that the Americans have been terribly subverted and indoctrinated as well. But now that I'm, awake. I used to be very judgmental of you all down there with when I was still a libtard, but after I woke up, I realized, no, you guys have it together with a lot of these things. But of course, unfortunately, you've also suffered from the effects of the indoctrination. Okay, I've talked enough now for a bit.
I'd like to make a quick comment. You know, you mentioned that the Jews wanted to get rid of the Germans. They talked openly about it. Matter of fact, we talked about this before. There was this dude, Theodore Kaufman.
Yes.
He was an American Jew. He wrote a book. I think
Germany must perish. Germany must perish.
They talked openly about it. He said they wanted to partition the country. They wanted to sterilize all the Germans. And there was another fellow, a clergy. I don't remember clergy's first name.
Kudenhove Kalergi plan. And there was the Morgenthau plan,
one of Roosevelt's chief advisors. And that was what he was saying, too. I mean, all the people around Roosevelt were Jews, and they were trying to get him and the U.S. government to go in there and just exterminate the Germans. I mean, all of them, men, women, children, whether they were in the military or not, civilians, that was their plan for Germany after the war. So you're absolutely right about that.
We did a reasonably good job with the brainwashing.
Yes. Yeah. So
I wanted to mention about that book, Hitler, because that book was written, I think, in 1941. And
yes,
Hitler
yes.
got rid of that book. And he was mad when he saw what he wrote in that book. He was so mad. And, he probably said, that's it. I'm done with you people. You know, you're not going to get away with this. That's for sure. You know.
Yeah, he apparently, I think he printed got a leaflet printed about that book to distribute to the people to show them, look, this is what the Jews have in mind for us. And, you know, I want to just tell you a little story. When I was going through the ritual defamation chapter of my life in Jasper after my little video, Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust, and a former friend of mine, we were very good friends. We had been playing music together all the time. Anyway, I told him about that book. I showed him about it. I showed him what Arthur Topham had done, a satire on it, where he just replaced the word Germany with Israel and Germans with Jews. And other than that, it was word for word. And he was criminalized for that and found guilty of, you know, hate crime, even though he had spelled it out that it was a satire. He was trying to point to the original, right? But anyway, I was telling my friend that, all about this book and then he turned it around, because he's so libtarded in his thinking, that he said, well, no, look what Hitler did with that book. Like, then look what he did with that. Like, I just couldn't believe his logic. But anything that happens, a person who's so indoctrinated, so programmed, they'll just turn it around. So here a Jew writes about how every single German should be killed, and then this guy thinks, no, that's okay, we'll just focus on what Hitler did with it.
That's very Talmudic. That's Talmudic thinking.
Yes.
People, we've got to go to a break. We got to go. This is going to be our last break, man. Anyway, people, hold on. You don't want to miss what's coming up in the last segment. Be right back.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to serve somebody.
Oh, dear people, welcome back to the last segment right here. We've got a couple of things we're going to talk about, but I know this may be kind of sophomore, but here's what I was hoping. I'm a fighter, and I know I'm overly optimistic, but I was hoping and praying, maybe I dreamed it, that Putin and the Russian army, the vast Russian army, would have gone all the way through, could have gone through the Ukraine, picked up our white brothers in the Ukraine, they're really pro-Russian, and driven through Poland and into Germany, and taken over and dealt with those people in the German government, in the EU, and gave them a quick trial, and then after the trial say, I see that man in the black hood. And then to free our German people, our German brothers and sisters, and if have to have a military government there in Germany to free those people, you know. And that's one more thing I'm gonna say, y'all. I know this is kind of crazy. I'll push to God. I wish I would live to see the Russians make a deal with Mexico, come into New Mexico and have a giant military presence there within 50 feet of the Rio Grande, and show these stinking Jews in the central government, in the Sodom of the Potomac, what it's like to have it, this crap thrown right back in their face. And so y'all can respond to that. I guess that's a little idiotic maybe, but that's what I would love to see. And I think we should also hammer this, what we talked about, this books, and what people in the United States and all over the world were talking openly about exterminating Germans. But that's my take. What do you think about that? What's your take on that, Gene?
Well, the whole thing about what's going on in the Ukraine and the American response from our so-called leader in the White House, Empty Shelf Joe, he's so concerned about the Ukrainian border and doesn't give a flying flip about our border along the Rio Grande. You know, why isn't he concerned about our border, as concerned as he was about Russian troops crossing the border with Ukraine? It just shows the lack of response, or the lack of any kind of sanity that we have in the government in this country. And we were talking earlier about the pandemic passports and the vaccination passports and all this nonsense like that. The concerns of that are nothing compared to what has been going on, wrecking the economy of this country and imposing what Trudy has been doing in Canada on the United States. And I've heard people say that that's great. You know, we need more emergency powers for this, you know, election-stealing, senile, drooling idiot that we've got in the White House, to give him more emergency powers. Like, you know, he couldn't even handle the powers of leading a Cub Scout troop, but much less, you know, a country the size of the United States. So that's really depressing, and to see the people in this country, as Monica's always talking about, brainwashing a large mass of a population of a country, are so willing to just throw away everything we've had in this country and say, well, I can't do anything, I'm throwing up my hands, let the government take care of me. And that's an invitation to a disaster right there.
Absolutely.
You know, there's this quote from Henry Kissinger, 1991. He said this, today America would be outraged if U.S. troops, it might have been U.N. troops, he said, I'm not sure, they entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they would be grateful. This is especially true if they were told there was an outside threat from beyond, mm-hmm. whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead with world leaders to deliver them from this evil. The one thing that every man fears. Yeah, he said that, didn't he?
He said that. It was UN troops.
Okay, UN troops, right. So anyway, the one thing that every man fears is the unknown. And when presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government. I mean, he said that in 1991, Henry Kissinger. And what is this big fear, right? Well, they did it in the last 2 years with this boogeyman of a virus that doesn't exist. And, you know, so anyway, but go ahead. You were going to say something there.
Oh, I was going to say, and Rich reminded me, Fred, tell us about, I'm not totally sure what's going on, but your house is in danger. The same old suspects are after you. You've got some kind of a campaign going on to save your house. Well, fill us in on I'm not sure what I'm talking about. Fill us on what's going on with you and your house and the Jews that are after you, Fred.
Well, I don't think this is a problem with the Jews, except for the fact that they're money grubbers. You know, a number of years ago, I took a reverse mortgage. And I took it because my mother and my aunt had passed away. They left a lot of bills, okay? I took the reverse mortgage, it was something around $330,000. I paid off the bills. Well, I got behind on my taxes on my property because I can't pay them all at once. I'm existing on $1,200 a month Social Security. And the bank paid them. And what the bank did was immediately after paying them, they foreclosed on me. And I managed to get out of that. I had to make a personal loan that I still owe for $20,000. And the company that I took the reverse mortgage with sold it to another company, and it was the second company that caused the problem. Now the second company caused the problem again, but they've given me the option of paying the amount owed before it goes to foreclosure. But it has to be by the end of the month, and I'm doing that. But what I'd like to get is I'd like to be in a position to have somebody finance my taxes over the course of the year so I can pay them a little bit each month. They're just too much to pay all at once. And then the bank steps in. Now, it was my understanding that when you had a reverse mortgage, they couldn't kick you out of your house. I expected to live here till I died. But that's not what happens. There's a loophole, and that loophole allows them to do it. There shouldn't even be any other amount of monies due. They have a right to turn around and say, pay your taxes and hurry up, but they don't have a right to pay them and then foreclose, which is what they did.
If I might jump in and just say some background here. So this, you were saying it doesn't really have to do with the Jews other than their money grubbing, but indirectly it does have everything to do with the Jews in the background of them having basically put you out of work once you told the truth about the non-existent gas chambers in Auschwitz and the other camps there, the work camps. When you did your investigative work, forensic investigative work on behalf of Ernst Zundel when he was going through the Holocaust trials in the 1980s in Canada. So I think that's an important point. There's a background to it. So it's more than just a personal story. Yeah. It is this bigger story of them having made it virtually impossible for you to work anymore and earn money.
Yeah.
And an engineer, you know, Fred, we have some lawyer for Blood River Radio has got several really good attorneys. I'll get them in touch with you. Okay, now how much money are we talking about, and when do you have to have it?
I have to have just under $4,000 by Monday afternoon. And
wow.
I think we're going to be, it looks like we're going to be there, but I don't have all the money. And every time we turn around, there's a problem. you know, that we broadcast, we recorded the appeal on Sunday. Jim posted it right away. Monday was a holiday. Then Tuesday, we had a major snowstorm. You know, Tuesday nothing was going to happen because it takes a while for people to mail things. Then we had the major snowstorm. We had 9 inches of snow. We didn't get any mail for 2 days.
Damn.
So it's causing things to slow down. It looks like we're going to have enough.
Before we run out of time, Fred, if anybody listening, if we had any wealthy people listening to our show, anybody who have got extra money, how can they get the money to you in the fastest way, Jim? I mean, Fred, excuse me.
Well, I think Fred has a PayPal site now. He set himself up with the PayPal. Yeah.
But they're slow and they're a problem. If somebody wants to send something in a hurry, I would hope they'd do it Western Union.
What's the address? How do they do it? Give us the address out.
Well, if they have a computer, they can download an app from Western Union. Just type in Western Union, hit it. You download the app, and it takes about 30 seconds to put the information in.
Just to Fred, they just say Fred Leutcher. I mean, how many? What do they put in? You're talking to somebody who's
They click on money transfer, and they just fill in the blanks.
Well, listen. But they have to know who to send it to, though. You know, your address. They have to know your name, your address, where to send it, et cetera, et cetera. Give us the full. Yeah. Give us all the information you know. You or Jim. Jim sounds like he's on top of this.
Yeah. Well, Jim had a poster that he put on after the show that showed everything, and maybe you can send that to them, Jim.
Jim, how's the best way? We're running out of time. How's the best way they can get the money to him through this Western Union thing, Jim? Or do you have any other ideas?
Well, no, they'd have to just get Fred's name, address, and phone number, and all that, and then he'd send it to them. That's all I can say. I don't have it, you know, like it's on my BitChute site, and one of the video I did for Fred showing, you know, the problem.
Oh,
and
okay, you did a video for it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, real quickly,
my BitChute site is under my name.
Fred, give your address. Give your address quickly. How they can your name, your address, how they can get this money to you.
Yes. Fred, F-R-E-D, Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, Leucher, L-E-U-C-H-T-E-R.
And then
172 Belmont, B-E-L-M-O-N-T, Street, Malden, M-A-L-D-E-N, Massachusetts, 02148. You'll need my phone number as well. It's 781-322-0104.
I tell you what, Fred, make sure, because we're almost out of time, send me all your contact information. You have my email address. And
right.
Anybody that sends me, they can get in touch with me at eddie@bloodriverradio.com, and we'll get that information to any donors you have. That's very sad. I hate to hear that. I'm hoping and praying that we have somebody in our audience with a lot of money that can do that. That makes me want to cry. Well, people, we're just about out of time. I would like to greatly thank Mr. Fred Leutcher, Jim Rosoli, Monica Schaefer, and Gene Andrews for coming on tonight. They've made this show, I think, something special. You know, they really have. Anything you'd like to say, any one of y'all? How about you first, Monica? Would you like to say something? We have about a minute and a half. We're out of time. I misjudged. I misjudged. I didn't have my coffee.
Thank you.
Well, good night, everybody. Thank y'all. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Monica. Thank you, Fred and Jim. Thank you, dear Blood River Radio audience. Rich, thank you. Rich is always a tower of strength with sending his information, and he reminded me. I'm so glad he reminded me of that last bit we did. Well, good night, dear Blood River Radio audiences. Thank you so much. We're coming in. That's the March the 5th. We'll be leading this out week. We're going to have Dr. Michael Hill on. We're going to have Rand Owens and maybe Gene and or Mark Tomey, because we're all Blood of the South guys. Good night, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you. Good night, Cameron and Jay.
Good night.